First of all, welcome everybody. We'll try to finish on time, even though we're running a little bit late. Of course, it's well within the Shloshim Yom Lefnei Achag, and therefore it's certainly appropriate to begin to speak about Inyanei Achag, particularly with regard to Pesach. This has extra implications on a pragmatic level, because it's very difficult to prepare for Pesach. The topic that we're going to speak about is a topic in which preparing for Pesach is particularly challenging, namely the theme of tarovis chametz, what happens when you have chametz that is mixed in with other foods, although I don't intend at all to speak about the practical aspects of that. We'll leave that for others. But I would like to do is examine the concept of tarovis chametz, as we'll try to demonstrate what the issue is, and then to speak very briefly about the halachic and hashkafic significance of this topic and how it reflects on our approach towards preparing for Pesach and celebrating the Chag of Pesach, etc. Okay, so let's begin with the beginning. The Torah tells us in Parshas Bo, there are two psukim that follow one after the other. They seem to be very similar in language and in construction. And since we know that there's nothing superfluous in the Torah, so it's challenging for us to try to figure out, and it was challenging for Chazal to try to figure out why these two psukim and in such proximity. The Torah tells us that Shivas Yamim, this is number one, Shmos Perikid Beis, that's Parshas Bo. Parshas Bo, of course, is the Parsha that deals with the historical Yetzias Mitzrayim, and in the context of doing that, the Torah also steps back and tells us that L'dori Doros, we're going to be commemorating every year this Chag. It's going to be a central part of our religious experience and religious life. And therefore, the Torah also outlines many of the special dinim of Chag Hamatzos in Parshas Bo and in Perikid Beis. So Perikid Beis, Pasuk Yutes, the Torah tells us, Shivas Yanim Se'or Lo Yimatze B'Vateichem, for 7 days Se'or, should not be found, leaven should not be found in your homes. Ki kol ochel machmetzes, because anyone who eats machmetzes, chametz, v'nichrasa nefesh ahi, me'adas Yisrael, bager u'be'ezrach ha'aretz. Because if a person eats chametz, that's a severe violation, and that violation really is something that triggers a chiyuv kares. It's actually quite rare to have an Iser Macholos Asuros that is Kares. Most Macholos Asuros are Lav, and they're Bemalkis. This one is Bekares. There are some other exceptions as well, but that's something to file away in the back of your mind. Just we'll get back to it a little bit later on. So then the next Pasuk, seemingly superfluously, tells us, Kol Machmetzes Lo Sochelu, V'chol Moshvoseichem Tochlu Matzos. That you're not to eat again any Machmetzes, any Chametz, you should be eating matzah. Now, the relationship between matzah and chametz is hinted at already in this pasuk and throughout the psukim in Parshas Bo and Emor and Pinchas and Re'eh and a little bit of Mishpatim. That's not our topic right now, but it's worth noting that whenever the Torah speaks about chametz, it speaks about matzah. Whenever it speaks about matzah, it speaks about chametz, almost as if to tell us that there is almost either-or situation here. There's nothing neutral. Either we're dealing with matzah or chametz. A lemaisa, we know that that's not true, right? You can have something which is not matzah and which is not chametz either. But it's almost as if the Torah is highlighting that there's a struggle here between chametz and matzah, and that you have to kind of always be conscious and always be cognizant of this choice, and you should be choosing matzah and negating chametz throughout. Okay, that's a bigger topic, but it's going to be a little bit important, again, for understanding our topic. So these are the two psukim, and the question is, why two psukim, one next to the other? Both of them seem to be just telling us that chametz is prohibited on Chag HaMatzos. Oh. So the if we look carefully at the Torah Shebaal Peh, we see that the Gemara addresses this question. And in order to understand that, let's go one step back again. The Mishnah tells us in Psachim, Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, this is the beginning of the third parak of Psachim. Most people learning yeshivas you know, the regular starim. So they learn the first parak, they learn the second parak, sometimes they learn the last parak, you know, arve psachim. Very few people learn the third parak, but it's really a very critical parak. We're going to learn it today a little bit. The Mishnah says, the elu ovrin bepesach. Right, these are ovrin. It's a very strange term, very ambiguous term. Right, they have to be passed over on Pesach. And they are kutach habavli, sheikh ramadi, chometz vadomi, zisum amitzri, zomon shel tzvaim, amelon shel tavachim, kolon shel sofrim. Again, we're not going to translate what all these are. They basically represent, as the Gemara tells us, two different classes. The first group represents tarovas chametz, which is our main topic, meaning you have a chametz, meaning from the something made out of the chameshes haminim, the five minei dagon, which was niskametz, became leavened, and it, instead of being atzmo shel chametz, instead of just encountering the, you know, the chitim, the seorim, etc., in the state of chametz, it got mixed in with some other food. So that's called tarovas chametz. That's the first group. The second group is chametz nuksha. Chametz nuksha, for our purposes right now, means chametz which is eino roi lachila. It's not fit for regular consumption. Okay? So this group of the Mishnah, elo ovrin, includes these two categories, tarovas chametz and chametz nuksha, and we're being told ovrin bepesach, that somehow you should pass over them on Pesach. We'll explain what we mean exactly in a moment. And then the Mishnah continues and says, Rabbi Lazar Omer, af tachshitei nashim. This is also true of certain tachshitei nashim, which are also made out of chametz nuksha. Zeaklal, this is the principle. Kol shu mimin dagon, anything which includes the min, the the category of dagon, which is the five grains. Hareza over the Pesach. You violate Pesach if you eat any of the chamesh saminim. Hare elu ba'azhara, but then the Mishnah adds, they are an azhar, they are lav, the ein bahem mishum kares, but there's no kares. This already is very fascinating, because we know that the Torah, we just read the pasuk in Parshas Bo, and we know this from our studies, that one of the unique things about Chametz of Pesach is that it is an Iser Kares. It's a severe violation. It's more than regular Lav and Malkus. But the Mishnah is telling us that these particular type of Chametz, Taroves Chametz and Chametz Nuksha, seem to be prohibited Mina Torah, Harei Elu Bazara, but Ein Bahem Mishum Kares. There's no Kares. So the Gemara, understandably, we'll get back to the Rashi and Tosis, you can skip that for the moment, wants to know where this comes from and what its significance is. So look at number 5. The Gemara says, Mantana, the Chametz Dagon Gomer, Ide Taroves, the Nuksha Be'ene Balav. Who is the author of this Mishnah who tells us that Chametz Dagon Gomer, when you have actual Chametz made of the five Minim, but it's nisare, it gets mixed in with some other substance, a taroves, v'nuksha beine, or if you have pure chametz, but it's enaroi lachilas adam, how do you know that that's balav, as opposed to either being patur, right, or kares? Amrav Yudah Marav, Rabbi Meir hi. The author of this Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. The Tanya, Sir Yisare, Pinoso Lakalbo, v'ochlo arboi. So this is a brisa which is very difficult to understand. Sior means chametz nuksha, chametz which is not roi lachilas adam. You're supposed to burn it, you can give it to your dog, right? And if you eat it, you get malchus. So the Gemara says immediately, hagufa kasha. There are too many contradictions in this one little sentence. Amro sior yisarev alma asar bana. Saying that you're supposed to burn it, that implies it's real chametz, and real chametz is prohibited from deriving any benefit from that. So you can't give it to your kelev. Hadotan even knows lefnei kalba alma mutar bahana. So which is it? So the Gemara says Hachi kamar siur yisarif drab meir l'rabbi meir drab Yehuda l'rabbi Yehuda nosin lefnei kalba drab meir l'rabbi Yehuda va'ochla barboim asan l'rabbi meir. Okay, the details of that I'm not going to go into, but basically, in broad terms, what we're saying is as follows: Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, how exactly what the threshold of chametz nuksha is, and they argue exactly, you know, what stage of being properly baked, let's say, you need in order to qualify as chametz nuksha. So if you're Rabbi Yehuda's, you know, the one that he thinks is chametz, and then there's Rabbi Meir's, and then there's Rabbi Meir's perspective on Rabbi Huda, and Rabbi Huda's on Rabbi Meir, and if you put it all together, the Braisa makes sense. Okay. We're not going to get distracted with that right now. The important point is the Mishnah, the Gemara says, Shaminu Leila Rabbi Meir, Nuksha Ve'enei Balav, the Kolshkein Chametz Dagan Gamor Al Yedei Taroves. The important thing to understand is that according to Rabbi Meir, if you have Chametz Nuksha, meaning it's pure Chametz, but it's unadulterated Chametz, but it's Eina Roy L'Achilas Adam, so this is a kind of in-between status. It is Asur Ba'Achila, right? But it is not Chayiv Bekaris. It has an Azhara, a Lav, Malkus, no Karis. And Huadin, Kol Shekain, certainly that's true. If you have Chametz Dagon Gomor, but it's Nisarev, right? That also would be in this middle category of a Lav and no Karis. Then the Gemara says, Rav Nachman Amar, no, the author of the Mishnah is not Rabbi Meir, but Rabbi Eliezer, he, Detanya, Al Chametz Dagon Gomor, Onosh Karis. Alei Ruvo Belav Diver Rabbi Eliezer. Eliezer says, if you have pure chametz, it's not mixed with anything else, that is kares. If you have chametz, which is in a taroves, it's mixed up with another food, then the halacha is that you're chayev malkis, but not kares. The chachamim omrim, what do the chachamim say? Al chametz dagon gamor onosh kares. If you have unadulterated chametz, that is going to be kares. Alei Ruvo, if you have taroves chametz, below klum, nothing. There's not even a lav. There's no Isur Torah whatsoever. Then the Gemara says, Shamina l'Rabbi Elazar da'amar chametz dagon gamor al yedei taroves b'lav, the kol shekein nuksha b'einei. Since Rabbi Elazar thinks that even a mixture of chametz is a lav, then he will certainly think that pure chametz, even if it's ainah roi l'achila, is also going to be b'lav. Actually, what emerges is that there's a debate in the Gemara, which is worse, taroves chametz, so you have pure chametz, but it's nisarev, or pure chametz, but it's eino roi l'achila. And there's a debate, which one is a kol shekein of the other, but basically this Mishnah, what the Gemara is telling us so far, is the Mishnah that says that either taroves chametz, or chametz nuksha, is not chayiv kares, but is osur min haTorah and is chayiv malkus. That is either authored by Rabbi Eliezer or by Rabbi Meir. Okay, let's read another few lines very quickly. The Gemara says, Rav Nachman mai tama lo amak Rabbi Yehuda, amalach dilma adkan lakam Rav Meir hasam ala nuksha b'enei. He thinks that pure chametz, even if it's ain't a roi, is worse. Av chametz dagan gomra al yedei taroves, lo. But if it's chametz, which is roi lachila, but it's diluted, in terms of the the ratio, it's taroves. That not Rabbi Yehuda by Tam Alemer Krav Nachman Amalachad Kam Lekam Rabbi Lazar Hasam Alachametz Dagon Gomra Yedei Taroves. At least the quality of the chametz initially, in terms of being roi lachila, is something which is understandably chamor. Aval Nuksha Beinei. Even though you have pure chametz in the case of Nuksha, since it's ainah roi lachila, lo amar. Then the Gemara says Tanya Kevased Rabbi Yehuda. Kol machmetzas lo sochelu, that's the pasuk that we were speaking about. Lerabos kuta kababli, shechar amadi, chometz adomi, zisim amitzri, yachol yehe onosh kares, talmud lomar, ki kol ochel chametz v'nichrasa, al chametz dagon gomer onosh kares, ale ruvo bilav. And then the Gemara says, man shamas le domar le ruvo bilav, rabbi lazar hi, vilu nikshur b'nei lo ka'amar, shmamina nukshur rabbi lazar leisla. Fine. Basically, the Gemara answers our first question, which is, why do you need two psukim in Parshas Bo? Shivas yamim se'or lo yimatzei bevateichem, ki kol ochel machmetzas v'nikrusa, hanefesh ahi mi'adas Yisrael. And then the next pasuk, kol machmetzas lo sochelu, the kol machvoseichem tochlu matzos. So the Gemara says, the answer is to be found in the Shita, either of Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Meir, who are the author of this Mishnah in the beginning of the third parak of Psachim, who tell you that there's a new category of chametz. There is the chametz that we all know and dread, I wasn't going to say love, but, and that is the chametz of Isur Kares, which is pure chametz, which is roi lachila, that's asur the kares. That's the pasuk that says, ki kol ochel machmetzes, if you eat chametz, v'nichrasa. But the next pasuk, if you're medayek, even though the words are the same, but they're interposed a little, they're structured a little differently, it's kol machmetzes lo sochelu. So the diuk is, any kind of chametz, meaning even chametz duksha, or kol chametz, any amount, right, even if it's diluted by a tarovet. So it's not kol anybody who eats chametz, it's kol chametz, referring to the chefza, which is compromised, right, by virtue of either being an eroi l'achila, any kind of chametz, or any amount of chametz by virtue of the quantity. And that's what the Torah is telling us very subtly, that that isn't kares, that is simply balav. Okay. So then, the Gemara gets a little bit even more exciting. If you look at number 6, this is all just a little background, but we're going to get to the main action in a moment, which is the Rambam Shita. So the Gemara Mem Dalet Amud Aleph says basically the following. Who, or what is the basis of, I see they skipped a little what I gave them, but okay. All right. We'll manage it. The Gemara says basically, what is Rabbi Eliezer's position that Chametz B'Tarovis is considered to be a lab? What is it based on? So the Gemara originally says, maybe, or it seems to be, based on the principle of Heter Mitzaref Le'Iser. What is Heter Mitzaref Le'Iser? And those of you who haven't studied Yoredei in quite a while, Heter Mitzaref Le'Iser means as follows. Generally, in order to violate and to incur the penalty of Malkus in a lab, you have to eat a kezias. That's the typical shear, right? What happens if you eat a kezias, but not of the Iser, but of the Iser in combination with something else? Right? Let's say you have a tarobes, you have a chelev, let's say, and it's mixed in with shuman, with kosher meat, right? And they're mixed together. So if you ate a kezias of chelev, then certainly you incur the full, you know, violation and the full punishment. But let's say it's only when you eat a part of the heter together with the iser, all combined to a kezias, what happens then? So the Gemara says, well, this is Rabbi Eliezer. He holds that heter is mitzaref le'iser. The kezias doesn't have to come from the chefza shel iser. It's sufficient that in the ma'isa achila combined, there be a kezias. If you're eating a kezias, and within the kezias you have iser, that's called heter mitzaref le'iser, that's aser too. That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara originally thinks that that is Rabbi Eliezer's position. Right? Why does Rabbi Eliezer think that taroves, chametz, violates an azhara and is lokeh? After all, it's only taroves chametz. It's based on the principle of heter mitzaref le'iser. So the Gemara says...
No beetle whatsoever?
I'm sorry?
No beetle whatsoever?
We're assuming that no beetle here. We'll talk about beetle in just a minute. Correct. We're assuming that the end of the iser exists. And even though you haven't eaten a kezias of it, you've only eaten a kezias in combination with the heter, that's called heter mitzaref le'iser, and that is acceptable.
Is there
okay,
an amount?
What's that?
Is there an amount? Is it
cultural? Oh, so we're gonna discuss that. It's seemingly not in heter mitzaref le'iser. The pashtus there isn't even a kol shehu. I mean, there's no the minimum amount. There's a debate among the Achronim about it, but the simple reading of the Gemara is that if you eat a kezias together, and we'll explain what that means in a minute. Also, what does it mean together? And included in that kezias is something of the Iser, that's called Heter Mitzaref Le'Iser. So then the Gemara goes back and forth, and the Gemara says, well, doesn't everybody hold Heter Mitzaref Le'Iser? We all know in this room that, you know, we don't paskin Heter Mitzaref Le'Iser, so we're a little surprised by the Gemara's discussion. So the Gemara says, no. Then the Gemara quotes a Braisa, a certain case of Truma. They didn't copy it here, they should have, but it doesn't matter. So then the Gemara says, well, no. That case of the Mishnah and Truma, which you think is a source for Heter Mitzaref Le'Iser, is a different case entirely. And this becomes critical to our discussion. What is it? It's a case where there's kezias kedei achilas pras. Ah. What is kezias kedei achilas pras? We're all familiar with this idea. And that is, when you have to eat, whether it's for good or for bad, whether it's for iser or for a mitzvah, when you have to eat a kezias, do you have to eat it bevas achas? Do you have to swallow it in one shot? Right? So the rule generally is that there's a shear of tziruf achila. It's called kedei achilas pras. However many minutes that is, it might be different for different foods. We're not going to get into the details right now, but there's a certain, in other words, time frame. It could be 2 minutes, it might be 5 minutes, it might be 7 minutes, it might be 9 minutes. Whatever it is, there are all sorts of debates on a practical level. let's say for the moment it's 5 minutes, we'll just take you know, an arbitrary figure. So within 5 minutes, if you read a kazayis, that's called kazayis v'chnei achilas pras. So the Gemara says, no, we hold heter's not mitzarif l'iser. In order to violate, you have to eat a kazayis of the iser. However, if it's nisarev, if it's mixed up with something else, what you have to do is eat a kazayis, right, within the shiur of achilas pras. And Rashi explains in the Gemara there, Rashi explains this very nicely. Rashi says that's how, in Kol Torah Kula, that's how we're mitzarev when it comes to Isurim. So the Gemara says, kazayis b'chdei achilas, that's where we are now. Kazayis b'chdei achilas pras doraisa hi. The Gemara says, oh, that's a din doraisa, that if you eat a kazayis within the 5 minutes or 7 minutes or 2 minutes, whatever it is, that that's mitzarev to a shir, that's a din doraisa. So the Gemara says, yes. So the Gemara says, yachi, but if that's true, am I pligi rabban aleh ad rabba lazar b'kuta chabavli? Ah. What happened? You have this Mishnah. The Mishnah says that Kuta Chababli, all these things, which are Tarov, let's call them Tarovas Chametz for the moment, that they are Balav and there's no Malkus. There's Balav and Malkus, but there's no Kares. And then Gemara says, who's the author of the Mishnah? Not the Chachamim. The Chachamim say it's Mutter. Not Torah. Who is it? Rabbi Lazar. And what does Rabbi Lazar hold? Because what does Rabbi Lazar hold? Heter, Mitztaref, Liyisra, big Chiddush. So the Gemara says, but if we believe kazayis b'chdei achilas pras is doraisa, that if you eat a kazayis within the amount of time that it takes to eat a pras, then why shouldn't kuta chababli be asur min haTorah? Why should the chacham say that it's mutter? Elamai, so the Gemara says, mishum dehetta mitzarei pliyisur. Sof amai pligir abanan arab lezer b'kuta chababli. Even if there's an argument about hetta mitzarei pliyisur elsewhere, but kuta chababli, right, is a certain kind of
a dip
of some sort, and it seems that, you know, based on the quantity of the chametz in the dip of the kuta chababli, it seems like it would be kazayis b'chdei achilas pras. So why does that depend on heter mitzarif l'iser? The Gemara says it's a straight out case of kazayis b'chdei achilas pras. If you eat chelev, or you eat dam, or you eat noser, pigel, or, you know, you're trying to be mekayim a mitzvah, you don't have to eat a bevas achas. Generally, right? There might be lechatchila basachas. We'll get back to that. But what you have to do is you have to eat it within the time frame that's considered a single achila. So why is the Mishnah? We don't like to say that a Mishnah, especially a Mishnah which is a stan Mishnah, we don't like to say that it's only aliba, you know, of a certain tana we don't paskin like. Why the chacham have to be against this Mishnah? That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara says, Ella hanach lekuta chabavli. Like, enough with kuta chabavli. Leave it alone. The lace bay kazayas b'chnei achilas pras, because there is no kazayas. They cut off. They did a bad job on this gemara. The lace bay kazayas b'chnei achilas. There's no kazayas b'chnei achilas pras. Why? But the gemara thought there was. That's why they asked, right? The mitzias question. So the gemara explains that the following is the problem. The problem is that it's a dip, and the quantity looks as if it would have kazayas b'chnei achilas pras. But this dip is not the kind of thing that you just eat, you know, rapidly, right? It's probably strong, it has karif in it, whatever it is. So if you eat it within the time for a kazayis, but that's not a typical way to eat it, and that's batal daitel etzel kolada. E mishtar kashatar, the achil espay kazayis b'chdeachilos pras. And if you eat it the way that you normally eat this kind of a dip, you're not going to end up eating a kazayis within the 5 minutes or 7 minutes or 9 minutes, and therefore there's no kazayis b'chdeachilos pras. Okay, that's the end of the Gemara. Okay. Now, if we step back and we finish reading this Gemara and we think about it, so what seems to emerge from the Gemara? What seems to emerge from the Gemara is one basic point. The Mishnah quotes the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that there is something, a new category called Tarovas Chametz, and Chametz possibly Nuksha, which is Balav and Malkus and not Bekares. However, it's based on certain Psak in Yoredeya, type Halachos, that we don't accept, which is the principle of Heter Mitztarev Li'Iser. The Gemara also says that if you were to eat a Taroves of Chametz, right, where if you ate a when you eat a pras, you would end up eating a kazayis, even the chachamim would agree that that is prohibited. However, the cases of the Mishnah, Kutach HaBavli, and so on, are not examples of that. But if we had examples of that, then in Hanami, you would violate, even though you're reading Tarovas Chametz, because the amount that you're going to eat within the shear of Tziruf, Pras, is Kezias. Correct? Fine. So the way that most Rishonim understood the Maskana of the Gemara is that, if you ask me, in the Minyan Mitzvos of Rashi and Tosfos and all the Rishonim, is there something separate called Tarovas Chametz? Is there a Chametz that you can eat on Pesach? I'm not talking about Lifnei Zmano, that's Rabbi Yehuda, that's a different story, you know, Erev Pesach. Is there a Chametz that you can eat on Pesach, which is not Kares, but is Balava B'malkas? Simple reading of the Gemara is, the way we Paskin, no. That's Rabbi Lazar, based on Heter Mitzar Fleiser. Now, if you ask me, but if you ate a Kutach HaBavli type food substance, Kezayis V'chdei Achilas Pras, would you be Chayiv for the Chachamim? Would that be Aser? The answer is yes. But is that Tarovas Chametz? The Pashtus, the answer is no. That's called the Shir Tziruf Achila of Kol HaTorah Kula, right? Which is X amount of minutes. And you're always Mitzarif to Kezayis. You wouldn't say that if you ate Chaleb, you know, Kezayis within Achilas Pras, that you're chayiv for Tarovas Chaleb. You'd say you're chayiv for Chaleb, because you don't have to eat it Bivasachas, right? It's sufficient that you eat it within, we're Mitzarif within a certain time span, and that's exactly what the Chachamim believe is true with regard to Chametz HaPes. So there's only Kares, and if you eat Kezayis of Tarovas Chametz Bechdei Achilas Pras, you're chayiv Kares. There's no such thing as a lav of Tarovas. That is simple. However, if we look at the Rambam, we see that the Rambam took a very different path, and we need to understand his view. In number 7, we have the Rambam's listing in Yad HaChazaka of Hilchas Chametz Matzah. Hilchas Chametz Matzah, Yesh Bechlalon Shmona Mitzvos, there are 8 mitzvos, Shalosh Mitzvos, this is number 7, Shalosh Mitzvos Haseh, V'chamesh Mitzvos Lo Saseh, 3 Essen, 5 Lavin, V'zeu Proton, this is the details. Shalolecho Chametz Biyom Yodalit, Lahash Bisor, we can skip some. Shalolecho Chametz, number Gimel is Shalolecho Chametz Kol Shiva, all 7 days do not eat Chametz, that's Kares. And then number Dalit, Shalolecho Tarovas Chametz Kol Shiva. Don't eat an admixture of Chametz all 7. What? The Rambam Paskin's like Rabbi Eliezer? Does the Rambam Paskin that Heter's Mitzarif Leisar? Certainly not. If you look in Hilchos Nazir and you look in Hilchos Macholos Asuros, right, in all the topics where the debate of Heter Mitzarif Leisar gets played out, the Rambam Paskins, like the Chachamim, that Heter is not Mitzarif Leisar, you need to eat a Kezayis of the Isar within Kedei Achilas Pras. So, where did the Rambam get that there's an Isar Tarovas Chametz? That's Rabbi Lazar we don't Paskin like, right? Then if you look at Perek Aleph Halach above, this is number 8, this is where the Rambam go to detail. Ein chayavin kares ela lachilas atzmo shel chametz, says the Rambam. You only get kares if you eat pure chametz. Aval eruv chametz kegon kutach habavli v'sheikh ramadi v'chaladom alahem, that's our Mishnah. If you eat any kind of tarovas chametz, midvarim shebechametz m'ura bahen, where chametz is mixed in, im achalim b'pesach loke, ve'ein bo kares, Paskus like the Mishnah. Right? There is a middle category called Tarovas Chametz, says the Rambam, which there is Malkus and no Kares. Shenemar, quoting the Pasuk, Kol Machmetzes Lo Sochelu. Okay. That's spectacular enough. But the Rambam doesn't disappoint. So in the continuation, he has, he seemingly, depending on your point of view, compounds the problem, right? We're going to try to explain how he doesn't really compound the problem, but he solves the problem. But that's going to require a little bit of an explanation. Bamedvar mamurim, when is this true? Says the Rambam. B'sha'achal kezayis chametz b'tocha tarovas b'chdei achilas gimel beitzim hu shaloke min haTorah. The Rambam says, when is there a prohibition of tarovas chametz? Which is only balav and malkus and not kares. Only when you eat a kezayis chametz within a taroves of gimel beitzim. Gimel beitzim is pras, according to the Rambam. There's a debate whether it's gimel beitzim, dalid beitzim. The Rambam shita said it's gimel beitzim. This is the Rambam's way of saying, if you eat a kezayis bechdei achilas pras, then you violate taroves chametz. Avalimein, the taroves kezayis bechdei achilas gimel beitzim, Afa pisha osur lo lechol im ochal ein aloke lemakan osamakas mardus. It's chatzi shir, or it's even less. It's not minat Torah. Okay, the Ravid says Omer Avram Arav pasak beelu kirabanan mishum de ein kazayis bechnei achilas pras. He says that the Rambam seems to pass like the Rabbanan. But he doesn't flesh out what bothers him. In Sefer Mitzvos, the Rambam also quotes this. Look at number 9. HaMitzvah kuf tzadiches sheziranu miachol dvarim sheishbem taroves chametz. We're not allowed to eat things which have taroves chametz, mixture of chametz inside. Afapi she'enon lechem k'ma murias akutach ha-sheichar v'hadoma lahem. Hu amara kol machmetzah, same pasuk, lo sochelu. The rabbos kutachababli sheikh ramadi chametz adomi yachol yuchayav v'naleim kares. You might think this kares Talmud lomar ki kol ochel chametz v'nechor. Saw the pasuk before. Ma chametz miyuchad shu min gomor yotzu elu she'ena min gomor, because they're diluted by a taroves. Then he says v'lama bo lavar aleim b'lo tase. Even though kares is a lav and malkus, however, says the Rambam, if you read my book on Hilchos Chametz, you'll know that this is only going to be true if you eat a kazayis k'day achilas pras. Amnam im haya bahen eruv chametz pachos mizah shir, less than that shir, ein chayavin al achilasan malkus, less than that, no malkus. What's going on here? The Ramban, in his Asagos and Sefer Mitzvos, jumps on the Rambam, quotes the Rambam, and then, you could skip the first paragraph, 1 second. Yeah, look at the second paragraph. The Dato Lomar, says the Ramban, Shekashiyesh b'chametz kazayis b'chnei achilas pras, when you have a kazayis, right, that you will consume within the shear of tziruf achila, then asur minat Torah, that's prohibited minat Torah, v'nisraba minalava zelamalkis, v'lo lakares. U'kashe einbo kazayis b'chdei achilas pras, einbo malkis she'en asur minat Torah elisur midivreim, l'makas mardus, v'chein kosov b'chibur agadol. So this is what the Rambam wrote in his Hilchos Chametz. V'emes b'zeha inyan kulo hefech midvara, says the Ramban. Everything he wrote is the opposite. Shachametz b'shiesh bo kazayis b'chnei achilas pras chayavin avalea kares l'debre akol. Right? The Ramban says, if indeed he ate a kazayis within the shear of pras, that's not a malkus, that's not a lav, that's the regular din of tziruf achila and kol ha-Torah kula. So he ate enough, he made an actual kazayis of be'en, of chametz, and he should be chayav. Veina baba ribu yazeh, that's not based on this pasuk, avalu ikar chametz shabbatorah lemalkus lekares shehu kachametz gomer b'fnei atzmo, because he ate it within the time frame. Ubebir amru kazayis b'fnei achilas pras doraisa klomar. In other words, ain't a batel like you asked before. It's not batel. Umitzdarif bein lemalkus bein lekarban avu kasheim bo kazayis b'fnei achilas pras b'zehu shamar lerabos kuta kababli v'sheich ramadi. The ribu yosan the malchus v'lo lekaris v'heim o diver abelazar v'ein alachal kain shehu omer al chametz dog and gomor onos karis al eruva belav v'alav u'kol machmetzos lo socheilu. Everything the Rambam's quoting is Rabbi Eliezer, but the Rambam doesn't paskin like Rabbi Elazar, and neither do we. So what's going on? V'alacha k'divrei chachamim shehem omrim al chametz dog and onos karis v'al eruva belav klum, and so on. Basically, there are several problems in the Rambam. First problem is the one that the Ramban points out. But basically, two problems Ramban points out. Number one, how does the Rambam paskin taroves chametz as a lav when that's Rabbi Elazar and we don't paskin like Rabbi Elazar, we paskin like Chacham? A. B. Im kvar az kvar. So the Rambam did make an adjustment for that, right, by telling us that the case that he's talking about is kazayis b'chnei achilas pras. But that's the bigger question, right? That's why I say compounds it. The hainu, if that's the case, says the Ramban, that's not a lav of taroves, that's the real Isur of chametz be'en, and not only should you not count it separately, but more importantly, you should be chayiv kares and not simply malkus. The Achronim ask another question of the Rambam, and that is, the din of taroves is not something unique to chametz be'pesach, presumably. It's something that we know in Kol HaTorah Kula. We have a rule, tam ki'ikar, what we call tamo umamosho, which means that you have not only the taste of the iser, but some of the be'en of the iser. How much? The Gemara actually says in Avodah Zarah, right in the sugya, in Samach Vav, kezayis bechtei achilas pras. If you have a kezayis of be'en, which you're going to consume within the time frame of achila, that's called tamo umamo. It's not batel, like some of you asked before. It's not batel because you have that amount. You're going to eat a kezayis within the time period. So all of a sudden, the Rambam, you know, feels that there's a need for a separate pasuk for this din. So the din didn't work. It's too lenient. It sounds like Rabbi Lazar, but we don't paskin like Rabbi Lazar. And what do we need a pasuk to teach you the din of kezayis de'achilas pras? Anyway, when that's something that applies in Kol HaTorah Kula. The Gra, responding to this question, says, oh, the Rambam thinks this is the source for Tam Ki'ikar or Tamo Umamasho. Right? Not a problem. This is the paradigm. Okay, it doesn't answer the other problems, but at least it answers this question. Other Akronim say, oh, we're talking about unusual circumstances. The Markevus HaMishnah, the Rav Zatzal, you should like to quote this Markevus HaMishnah, says we're talking about a case where there's no Tam. We're talking about a case where you have a kezayis, bechtei achilas pras, but you can't taste it. You can't taste the chametz in this tarovas. And it's a special kiddush, according to the Rambam, the Xeris HaKasuv, that even though there's no tam, if you have the ratio and the amount of tarovas, of kezayis achilas pras, you're consuming it, even though you're not tasting it, that's also going to be aser. That's a big kiddush. The Kesef Mishnah says something comparable. Kesef Mishnah says, maybe we're talking about a situation where it's ein roi l'achilas adam. Normally, things that are in a roi l'achila are not osir. Maybe there's a chiddush, a tarovas chametz, even though it's in a roi l'achila, kind of like a nuksha, basically, is osir. But again, the Rambam doesn't say any of this. And it's mu'ah. Just how is he reading the Gemara? Where does this come from? Why isn't there kares, etc.? So I'd like to suggest is the following. Number one, there's a huge debate in the Rishonim regarding Tarovas Chametz on one other point. The Mishnah says, Elu Ovrin B'Pesach, right? That's how we began. The Mishnah in Pesachim, Membeis Omid Aleph. What does that word Ovrin mean? It's a strange word. So Rashi, if you go back to number 3 and 4 for a moment, Rashi says, Elu Ovrin Aleim B'Bal Yirah B'Bal Yimatzeh. This is on page 1, number 3, right? The Kula Mefarish B'Gemara, Rashi says, what we mean to say here, in the Reish of the Mishnah, is that you violate the prohibition of Bayira, Bayimatzeh, in Taroves Chametz. Okay. The Bali Tosis disagree. Look at number 4. Pirsha Kuntris, Labar Lame, Bayira, Bayimatzeh. Gamri Vomidaktik, Miloshan, Overim means over, get rid of it. Demashma, Mino Olam, get rid of it because it's Bayira. The Ein Nira L'Rabbeinu Tam. Also, Tosis on Beis and Aleph quotes this view. The mashma, the kol hanich marbina mikol machnetzas also chelu, v'afilu b'achila lo havin b'chayev, ilav derav yakro. The Rebbeinu Tam says something quite important. He says, if it wasn't for gzeras hakasuv, kol machnetzas, you wouldn't even think that it was prohibited to eat tarovas chametz. So ein lechol lechidusho. There's a prohibition of bayra bayimatzeh on tarovas chametz. That's the Rebbeinu Tam says no. Nir l'Rebbeinu Tam, the eil rovrin, pirish, ha'ochlin, the ovrin, hainu miala shocham. Be very careful not to eat it. But there's no bayira. Huge kula for Rabbeinu Tam. There's a discussion on Beis Amid Aleph and tells us whether there's a din of bedikas chametz on tarovis. Imagine if there was no bayira and no bedika on tarovis chametz. There would be a lot easier preparation for Pesach. But we're machmir. Anyways, this is an interesting question. But there's a middle shita. And that is the Shita quoted in the Rush and the Tosas Rash Mishans, who say the following. If you have a kezayis b'chdei achilas pras, then there's bayira. If you don't have a kezayis b'chdei achilas pras, then there's no bayira. That's interesting.
Can you repeat that? Because if you said there's no iser achila, that I understand. If you're saying there's no bayira.
Yeah. You say, what does that do with kedei achilas pras? That's what you're asking. Excellent. So that, I'm glad that you responded that way, because that's exactly the response I was hoping for.
Yeah. One is volume and one is
time. Excellent. That which is the same, you're saying the same thing, but in different ways. Excellent. Very good. Exactly. What does Kazayas Bechtei Achilas, both asking very well, what does Kazayas Bechtei Achilas Pras have to do with Balyum? That it has to do with Achila, we understand. It's a time frame for a single Achila, and then you consume it, and it's considered Achila Achas. We're talking about something that's on the table, or under the table, right? What does Kazayas Bechtei Achilas Pras have to do with it? Oh, let's go one step further. The Rambam in... It's always good if we can solve the Rambam from within the Rambam, you know, and... The theory is, it doesn't always work, that, you know, when you multiply the problems, you know, you end up finding the opening for the solution. So hopefully this is one of those examples. Look at number 11. How does the Rambam paskin about this question of Bal Yirah and Tarovas Chametz? Rambam says, Tarovas Chametz over and allow Mishum Bal Yirah, Ubal Yimatzeh. There is Bal Yirah, like Rashi, on Tarovas Chametz according to the Rambam. But then he adds, Kegon Hamurias, the Kuta Chababli, the Shechar Amadi, remember them? The Mishnah, right? She'osin osan min ha-kemach, the kol kiyotsu be-bidvar ma-nacholim, avol dover she'esh bo tarovas chametz ve'en roi la-chila, arez amuta le-kaimu be-pesel. The Rambam basically says that if you have tarovas and nuksha, there's no bayira. But if you have only nuksha or only tarovas, there is bayira. But what the Rambam adds here is the examples of Kutach, Murias, Shechar Amadi, the Mishnah, right? So all the Nosei Kelim ask, wait. The Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer. You don't paskin that way, right? On the contrary, the Rambam himself in Perek Aleph Halacha Vav, when he talks about the Isra of Achila Tarovas Chametz, which is Mechudash to begin with, as we know, that's our biggest problem, right? Say he starts off by quoting Kutach HaBavli, and then he says Bamed Dvar Mamurim when there's Kazayis Bechdei Achilas Pras. But if there's no Kazayis Bechdei Achilas Pras, then there's no problem. So, what? There, Kutach HaBavli, if you were to eat it, according to the Rambam, there would be no Malkus, but having it in your home is Bal Yirah. Can there be a Bal Yirah on something that if you ate, you wouldn't violate? And that's an interesting question in its own right. There's a big debate, this is not for now, whether Bal Yirah is considered to be a kind of a siyag of Achila. Second day in Tosas on Daf Beis Amud Aleph in Psachim, and the Ran in the beginning of Psachim discussed this. In other words, Bal Yirah, so you won't eat it, or Bal Yirah is a standalone, and even if it's a standalone, can you have a Cheftza of Chametz, Le'inyan Bal Yirah, that isn't a Cheftza of Chametz, Le'inyan Achila? It's an interesting question. Okay. We're running a little late, so let me get to the punchline. So the Mefarshim on the Rambam have a very difficult time. Why is he quoting Kutach HaBavli when in Perek Aleph he rejected Kutach HaBavli as Tarov? What's going on? So some of them say, kind of what you both said, which is, Bal Yirah L'chud and Achila L'chud. In Bal Yirah, we don't care about Kazayas Achilas Pras. We just care about one thing. Is there physically a Kazayas together in one concentrated spot? Because it's about presence of Chametz. It's not about eating of the Chametz. So Pras, Achilas Pras, is irrelevant when it comes to Bal Yirah. That's the view of some of the Nosakim. The Ramach came up with a Chiddush, which seems to be, in my opinion, Pshat Rama. They weren't able to get it for some reason. I'm not sure why, but the Ramach says as follows. The Ramach says the Rambam was very meduyak. When he says Kegon Kutach HaBavli, he meant it. Ah, you'll ask, what about Perek Aleph? Perek Dalet? Oh. And what about the questions you both asked? So the answer is, says the Ramach, again, he says it very briefly. I'm certainly expanding it and running with it. He basically says the following idea. Kazayis Bechtei Achilas Pras, right, can be understood on two levels. Normally we understand it as a tziruf in achila. Right? If you eat a pras, which is considered to be one achila, have you eaten a kazayas or not? That's the question. However, another way to look at it is that it's a shear in the density of the tarobes. It's a ratio. In other words, if you were to eat a pras of this substance, right, and you would end up eating a kazayas, that is the kind of concentration, that's a kind of ratio of chametz to taroves, which is considered to be a cheftza of taroves chametz. Ah. So that's basically what the Ramach says. Ramach says, listen, what the Rambam wanted to tell you was the shear of kazayas, bechdei achilas pras, is not only a shear in zman. It's a shear in the cheftza of taroves. And what the Rambam is saying is as follows. There's something called Tarovas Chametz. We know that from Perek Aleph, Hilchas Chametz. We'll explain more in just a second. It isn't just that, you know, how much chametz have you eaten within how much time? It's a category in its own right called chepta shel tarovas chametz. There's something called tarovas chametz. We'll say it this way. The chametz isn't just a presence that you have to avoid. It's a presence which is noxious and which poisons its surroundings on Pesach, not during the rest of the year. In other words, it's an oser, not just an iser. When you have a kezayis b'chdei achila, when you have the concentration of kezayis b'chdei achilas pras, that changes the taroves into a taroves kefzashel taroves chametz. And that is oser b'bal yoravai matzah. So what the Rambam was trying to say is as follows. Remember when the Gemara said originally, well, kuta chababli, why do they argue? The dip, if you look at it, right, this, it's kezayis b'chdei achilas pras. Then the Gemara says, no. No one eats that dip so quickly. Right? This made an enormous impression on the Rambam. The Rambam said, you know what's going on in Kuta Chababli? It has the concentration in terms of, you know, of how much chametz to how much taroves of kezayis b'chdei achilas pras. Just that lemaisa, people don't eat it that way. In other words, if you were to take a food that was more rapidly digested and put it right next to the Kuta Chababli, the ratio would be the same. So the Rambam holds, when it comes to Taroves, which is about Shehiya, it's about, you know, being in your presence, that's Kezayis B'chdei Achilas Pras. It has that, it's a kalos of Taroves Chametz. Of course, when it comes to the eating, because it's Shalok HaDerech, that's a different, that's why the Rambam also quotes Kuta Chababli in Perek Aleph, before he qualifies it. He wants you to know, I'm talking about a Kuta Chababli type substance, as a Cheftza. Just that Kuta Chababli itself isn't going to qualify because, in fact, when we eat it that way, we don't eat it that way. Oh. Let me highlight it in one more way very quickly. There's a very famous view of Reb Chaim Cohen, quoted by the Rush in Chulin, regarding in general, Tam Ki'ikar, Tam Amama, mentioned Tam Amamasha. Gemara says in Avodah Zarah that even if you don't hold Tam Ki'ikar, that Tam alone is Asur, Tam Chelev, Tam Dam, Tam Nosar, Tam Chazir, right, you have to eat some of the be'en too. How much do you have to eat? Kezayis b'chdei achilas pras. So all the Rishonim understand that this is a tziruf and achila, like we're saying in Ma'is Achila, with the exception of Reb Chaim Cohen. Reb Chaim Cohen said, if you have a concentration of kezayis b'chdei achilas, in other words, if you were to eat a pras, you'd end up eating a kezayis of the be'en, then even if you only eat a kezayis of the taroves, you violate tamo mamasha. Okay? Why? The answer is because it's a shear in the density of the cheftz of taroves. Ein adoma taroves, which if you ate a pras, you'd eat a kezayis of it, to one which is more diluted. Now, we don't paskin like a Chaim Cohen, but what I'm suggesting is that a little bit, conceptually certainly, the Rambam accepts the yesod of Reb Chaim Cohen, dafka when it comes to chametz b'pesach. What do we ask in the Rambam? All the questions that we asked. The Rambam doesn't paskin like Rabbi Elazar. How does he have a lav of Taroves Chametz? And Kezayis B'chdei Achilas Pras, that's a din kol Torah Kula. Why all of a sudden does he need Gzeiras HaKosev in Hilchos Chametz? Moreover, the biggest question, the question of the Ramban, which is, and if he really ate a Kezayis B'chdei Achilas Pras, then he violates Kares, not the lav, right? But now the answer is as follows. When the Gemara had its shock the Arya, the Gemara said, oh, it's based on Hetzer Mitzar Fleiser. Then the Gemara said, well, this kezayis b'chdei achilas pras, isn't that doraisa? So the Gemara said, well, not in Kuta Chababli, you don't eat it that way. So all the Rishonim read the Gemara, that the Gemara is saying, there's no taroves chametz for the Chachamim. The only question is there an achila of kares within the time span of regular achila? And the Gemara is saying, no, not in Kuta Chababli. The riff is like the Rambam. The riff and the Rambam didn't read the Gemara that way. They read the Gemara as follows. The Gemara says Rabbi Lazar is the author of Taroves Chametz. He holds that there's Malkus, that there's no, it's a new category, it's called Chetzeshel Taroves Chametz. And it's based on Hetam Mitzarev Leiser. And the Gemara says, but if there's a concentration, not the time frame, of Kezayis B'chdei Achilas Pras, maybe even the Chachamim would agree that there's something called Chetzeshel Taroves Chametz. So the Gemara says, yeah, fine, but Kuta Chababli itself, people don't eat it that way. But when there really is kezayis b'chdei achilas pras, says the Rambam, that's called taroves chametz. And that's a separate lav. Not only Rabbi Lazar, even the Chachamim agree. That's why in Bal Yeroah, when you have Tarovas Chametz, Kidei Achilas Prask, like Kuta Chabavli, there it's even in the ratio, even though you don't need it that way, you violate. Aye, but the question is, so why don't you also get Kares? Because you ate the Shear. So here I think you could say one of three things. Either you could say in Achanami, you do. But there are two violations. You violate Tarovas Chametz, because you're eating the concentration of Kazayas Bechdei Achilas Pras. And in addition, you get Kares. The Kares we know about. Now we're being told, in addition, there's something called a lav. I'm not so happy with that answer, but I think it's something to consider. More likely, I think you could say, more mechudash, but more likely, the following two ideas. The idea that Kazayas, Kedei Achilas Pras, ends up being combining into one, I mentioned before, can also be understood in different ways. After all, normally, we're dealing with a vacuum. In other words, you're eating a little bit of chalev, right? A little more chalev, a little more chalev. You have to get to a kazayas, and you have to get to it within a certain framework. So we keep saying, what are you doing? You're eating tarovas chalev, right? We don't care about the other parts, we care about the chalev. Because the other parts, the tarovas, weren't infected by the chalev. They're just the surrounding, we can't find the chalev, so you know, we're eating a quarter of a kazayas, and another quarter of a kazayas, and another third of a kazayas, and another eighth of a kazayas. If we end up eating a kazayas within a time frame, then what have we done? We've added together kazayas chalev. Would you say about that that you have violated because you ate tarovas chalev? No. You ate chalev, and you ate it within the time frame. But what if you have a halacha where the Torah is mechadesh that the Iser poisons its surroundings and creates a chalos called taroves of that Iser? Taroves chametz. So then when you eat, right, you're not eating a quarter, an eighth, a tenth of chametz. What you're eating is this amount of taroves chametz and that amount of taroves chametz and a little more taroves chametz. Now you end up having to eat, according to the Rambam, a kazayas of chametz within the pras for the kazayas, for the whole thing to be called chafza shel tarovas chametz, right? But basically, we're not dealing with it in a vacuum that you're just adding up the be'en. This is a separate category, separate iser called tarovas chametz. Ah, if that's the case, then maybe we only mitzaref in a vacuum. We don't mitzaref when there's an identity, a bigger identity, in the issue itself. That's one possibility. The other possibility, I think, is even more intriguing, and this is the one that I personally think might be really true. I started off by saying that chametz is a rare iser kares of macholos asuros. Right? Most macholos asuros, with some exceptions, are balav. Our tendency, because we all grew up knowing that, you know, chametz is very chamur and that it's an iser kares, is to assume that default chametz should be an iser kares. And then when we encounter the idea that, you know, there's also a chametz, according to the Rambam, tarovas chametz, which is balava, b'malkus, we're all surprised. And we have to try to fit it in. But maybe our perspective is skewed and we should come from the other direction. Meaning, what the Torah is telling us is that chametz has two dinim. Chametz is a regular macholos asuros, and as such, it's chayav malchus. When you have pure, unadulterated chametz, then it's makares. Meaning, that chametz is not prohibited all year long, as we know. It's the staple of our diet. Right? Outside of the world of Kadshim and the Beis HaMikdash, there's nothing wrong with chametz. But in the context of the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, right, and the idea that Cherus, right, is something which is defined by discipline and by boundaries, that's the theme of Chametz, as the Radvaz and others explain it, right? Unrestricted growth, which is what Chimutz is all about, is incompatible with the building of a nation. They came out from Avdus, right? Ein ben chorin elamish osek. That implies limits. You can have a heter chametz in korban shtei lechem within the framework of Chag HaShavuos, where you have matan Torah. This is obviously part of a bigger idea and a bigger theme. The story of chametz as an iser, that's what I meant before also, it's either matzah or chametz on Pesach. That idea is something which is particularly driven home when you have unadulterated chametz, unmistakable chametz. It's nikar that it's chametz. Basically, according to the Rambam, what that means is that whenever you have a tarobis of chametz, it's true, you're eating it kizayis b'chdei achilas pras. So you're eating chametz ben, but it's still chametz tarobis that you're eating the right amount of shir. That, according to the Rambam, that doesn't bear the message of karis. That's macholas asuros. That's regular macholas asuros. When you eat, as the Rambam puts it, atzmo shel chametz, pure, unadulterated chametz, that's karis. So the Rambam basically says, of course there's a nisa tarovitz chametz, kizayis b'chnei achilas pras. It's true, like the Ramban says, normally we would be mitzarif that to karis. But not if the karis itself is the higher level built on the principle of being nikar and telling the story. So let me just highlight it in a couple more ways very quickly. And then we'll end. There's a very fascinating tshuva of the Rav Yo, which I think we have here, but I'm not going to read it. Kuf Samach Tes. There are actually two tshuvas of the Rav Yo, one in Tav Chaf and the other in Kuf Samach Tes. The one here in Kuf Samach Tes is the one, about Nat Bar Nat. He won't go into details, a bit of a chiddush that he has. No Saint Tam bar no Saint Tam. What if you have a barrel of beer? They used to have beer casks, right? Now beer is tarovas chametz, right? So you had tarovas chametz, sheikhar, poured it into the barrel. Now can you use those barrels, then you clean it out. You want to use those barrels on Pesach. This tam, right, in the defanos of the barrel. But that's the second tam. That's no sin tam by no sin tam, because the first one was tarovas chametz. That's not the normal way we look at it, but this is the way the Rav Yo was looking at it. So the Rav Yo has a terrific line where he says, I don't think this is not bar not, because, he says, tarovas chametz, it should not just be looked at as no sin tam. If you look at tarovas chametz as no sin tam, what you're saying is, all there really is atzmo shel chametz, the real chametz, but it's hidden in the tarovas. But tarovas chametz is a chalos. As I say, the chametz redefines the whole it's called tarovas chametz. That's not no same tam. That's like a be'en shaliser. So there's another rabbia where you discuss the following question. The Gemara says that if you have chametz on Pesach, right, and then it was nis'arev after Pesach, there's no violation of chametz of arlava Pesach. Since it was nis'arev, lachar Pesach, there's no problem. So the Rishonim ask, and what if you have tarovas chametz on Pesach and you keep it till after Pesach? Is that the violation of chametz she'avar all about Pesach? It's an interesting question, right? So that's the Rav Yo and Simon Tovchov, and it's all the whole discussion in the Poskim Shulchan Aruch. So the Rav Yo says, so the debate between Rabbeinu Ephraim and the Rabban is basically as follows. One of them says, well, Kol Shekein, right? I mean, when you had Atzmo Shel Chametz on Pesach, which is kares, and then it got this arev la'achar Pesach, there's no chametz sharvel of Pesach. So certainly when you have a diluted chametz, like chametz taroves, so if it's achar Pesach, there should be no violation. Right? On the other hand, the other way to look at it is that in the first case, right, something happened after Pesach to change the situation. Right? Meaning you had chametz on Pesach, and then the tarovas took place afterwards. Right? But if they had tarovas during Pesach, just because now it's after Pesach, there's no new initiative, nothing changed. But the way the Rav Yo formulates it is exactly along these lines. He says, listen, if you're looking at the tarovas as simply the framework in which you can't find the Be'en Shel Chametz, but you know it's there, then maybe there's a Kol Shekein. You can say, oh, Ikar Chametz, no longer Chametz Shavuot of a Pesach when it's Nisarev. So certainly it never was even Ikar. But if there's a Gzeres HaKasuv called Kol Machmetzes, which establishes the Chalos Tarovas Chametz, right, that's a Chetzah Shel Chametz, and nothing changed from Pesach till after Pesach. That should be a violation of Chametz Shavuot of a Pesach. So there are a lot of echoes of this. The Minchas Chinuch discusses whether you can combine the tarovas chametz and yisrachal. Let's say you have, somebody gives you hasra. And he says, gives you hasra with the pasuk of tarovas chametz, not to eat chametz. I say, all right, but at least with regard to malchus, will it work? Or let's say you have a combination of a shear. Let's say you have three quarters of a be'en shel chametz, right? And then you get the other quarter, but within achilas pras, from a taroves chametz, right? But altogether, you ate the full amount. These are Minchas Chinuch's bread and butter. There's no one better than him, you know, at these issues in question. But all of his questions and all of his most of his analysis are based on the idea that Taroves Chametz is kind of like a letter form of Chametz. But according to what we're trying to explain for the Rambam, Taroves Chametz is a din b'fnei atzmo. It's a chalos of Taroves Chametz. It isn't just the Chametz that's mixed in and that you can't find easily. It infects its surroundings. So just to conclude, the truth is that the reason I think this is such an important topic, even though it's somewhat abstract, it has obviously practical import too in terms of Balyura and other things, is I think it really highlights what's unique, what's singular about the Isra of Chametz Pesach. In that, as I said before, it's not just a regular Isra or even an Isra Kares. There's a certain story, a certain narrative associated with Chametz such that it isn't just a prohibition. It's something which defines, the way that we look at Kedushas Yisrael, at Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that the concept of Cheiros. And the truth is, last year, I believe, before Pesach, I also gave Kol Yom Rishon, I spoke about Bedikas Chametz. The idea that we hunt Chametz, that we search, and destroy it, that, it's not... Basically, all of the dinim of chametz, you look through the Rambam, almost all defy the regular way that we treat machalos asuros. It's not enough to ensure that we avoid chametz on Pesach. It's almost as if there's this, as I said before, based on the psukim, constant confrontation. We're told you have to confront, right, and reject and negate chametz for the sake of the alternative, which is not so. And this is reflected in Bedikas Chametz, in Bir Chametz, especially Sreifa, in Iser Mashehu, in Kares, and I think in particular by Taroves Chametz. This idea that the presence of Chametz on Pesach infects its surrounding and redefines it in a way which makes it unacceptable as well. And I think in light of the Rambam's formulation, it really encourages us really to appreciate this idea that living a life which is regulated and balanced and which is directed in which growth has its place but growth in the proper circumstances under the proper framework, this is really something that is very inspirational about Chag HaMatzah. So I wish you in advance the Chag Kasher V'Sameach, and thank you very much.